Valerian and Tiburtius distinguished themselves among all the Christians of Rome by their zeal in gathering the bodies of the martyrs. They spent their wealth in preparing places of internment for these generous athletes, poor according to the flesh, but already kings in the places of heaven. Eager to testify their respect for these precious remains, they anointed them with the richest perfumes, whilst, at the same time, by abundant alms they provided for those families who, by the loss of their principal members, had been deprived of the means of subsistence. The two brothers were soon denounced to the prefect, both for their donations to the lower classes and for their transgressions of the law, forbidding the interment of martyrs. They were consequently arrested and led before the tribunal of Almachius. The prefect had no intention of condemning the two patricians whom he had summoned before him. He merely wished to intimidate them and obtain satisfaction for their having publicly violated his orders. "How is it possible," he said to them, "that you, scions of a noble family, can have so far degenerated from your blood to associate yourselves with the most superstitious of sects? I hear that you are squandering your fortune upon people of the basest extraction, and that you even go so far as to bury with honor the bodies of wretches who have been punished for their crimes. Must we conclude that they are your accomplices, and that this is the motive which induces you to give them an honorable burial?" The younger of the brothers was thus first to answer. "Would to heaven," cried Tiburtius, "that those whom you call our accomplices would deign to admit us among the number of their servants. They have had their happiness of despising that which appears something, and is nevertheless nothing. In dying, they have obtained that which is not apparent, and yet is the only reality. May we imitate their holy lives, and walk one day in their footsteps." Almachius, completely disconcerted by their courageous reply, endeavored to interrupt the young patrician by remarking the striking resemblance between the two brothers. "Tell me, Tiburtius," he asked, "which is the older of you two?" Tiburtius replied, "My brother is not older than I, nor am I younger than he. The one, holy, eternal God has made us equals by his grace." "Well," resumed Almachius, "tell me, what is it that which appears something and is nothing?" "Everything in this world," Tiburtius warmly replied, "everything which leads souls to eternal death, the inevitable end of the happiness of this life." "Now tell me," continued Almachius, "what is that which is not apparent, and yet is the only reality?" "It is," answered Tiburtius, "the future life of happiness for the just, and of eternal torments for the wicked. Both rapidly approach, and yet, through a fatal self-delusion, we turn away the eyes of our heart, that we may not see this inevitable future. Our bodily eyes are fixed upon present objects, and we seek to deceive our conscience by branding virtue with the epithets that belong only to evil, while we embellish evil with the qualities which pertain solely to virtue." Almachius interrupted the young man. "I am convinced," said he, "the sentiments which you express do not proceed from the spirit which animates you." "You are right," replied Tiburtius. "I do not speak according to that spirit of the world which once animated me, but according to the spirit of him whom I have received into the inmost recesses of my soul, the Lord Jesus Christ." "Do you know what you are saying?" angrily retorted the prefect, indignant at hearing the young man pronounce that sacred name which attested the profession of Christianity in him who uttered it with so much love. "Do you know what you are asking?" said Tiburtius. "Young man," replied Almachius, "your enthusiasm blinds you." Tiburtius answered, "I have learned, I know, and I believe that all I have spoken is truth." "But I do not understand it," retorted the prefect, "and I cannot enter into this order of ideas." "That is because," answered the young man, borrowing the words of the apostle, "the sensual man perceiveth not the things that are of the Spirit of God. But the spiritual man judgeth all things, and he himself is judged of no man." Almachius smiled with vexation, concealing his mortification at the insult which he had received. But not wishing that the young man should compromise himself further, he sent him away and commanded Valerian to be brought forward.